الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم، كذلك سخرها لكم لتكبروا الله على ما هداكم وبشر المحسنين. وقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر: يا أيها الذين آمنوا هل أدلكم على تجارة تنجيكم من عذاب أليم. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: ما عمل آدمي عملا يوم النحر أحب إلى الله من إهراق الدم، إنه ليأتي بقرونها وأشعارها وأظلافها، وإن الدم ليقع من الله بمكان قبل أن يقع من الأرض، فطيبوا بها نفسا. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers and friends, it is a natural instinct in man and in us as human beings that when it comes to do with some material gain, then we become enthusiastic and we look forward to acquiring that gain in whatever sense it may be. If you have to take an example of a businessman, then when the businessman sees a time in which he can acquire more and will be more profitable, then he becomes excited when this time is coming close. For example, a peak season, whether it is the December time, a Black Friday, etc., whichever time it may be. But you would notice that this businessman, it's a natural instinct in him, when he sees this time drawing close, he begins preparing well in advance. Whether it's to do with the marketing, to do with having stock at hand, etc. But he begins preparing well in advance, and as the days are drawing closer, he becomes more excited that, you know what, this time is coming. But why? Because this person realizes what gain he is getting. He realizes what profit he will be making. Respected brothers and friends, while if we have to look at it, this person is waiting for those rands and cents to come. It is obviously permissible if he is acquiring it in a halal manner and using it in a halal manner according to the Sharia, then obviously there is no problem. It is completely permissible. And if he is using it for in dini purposes, giving sadaqah, etc., for masajid, lillah, etc., then obviously he will be getting reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But while acquiring this rands and cents, while on one hand a person may be able to benefit from it, and he may not be able to benefit from it. He may pass away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give everyone long life, but he may pass away before he uses it, or something else may happen. Allah protect, he may use it for some wrong, then obviously he is not benefiting from that wealth. But respected brothers and friends, like how a person in this world, a businessman, he looks forward to these opportunities, and he is always looking to gain more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also given us a business. In the Quran Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, listen. Hal adullukum ala tijara, should I not show you a business? What type of business is this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us? In the business of this world, you do a certain business transaction and you gain profits, you gain money, rands, etc. And with that rands, a person, he is able to live his life. But what business is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calling us towards? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, should I not show you a business? But what is the outcome and the result of this business? Tunjikum min azabin aleem. This business, the outcome and the profit of this business is that it will save you from the fire of Jahannam. Respected brothers and friends, this is a very important lesson for us. Because in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us in this world for a temporary, a short period of time. Maybe 60 years, 70 years, 80 years a person may live up to. And then death is inevitable. Even the person who does not believe in the existence of a God, an atheist, he even knows that one day death will come. Death is definite. There is no running away from death. So respected brothers and friends, we have to every day remind ourselves of our objective in life. Our objective in life, while obviously earning for this world and living in this world, is totally permissible. But we do it just to live in this world and get over with this life, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created another life for us, which will never end. The whole reason for the existence of this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ, life, which is the beginning of this existence, and death, which is the end of this existence in this world. Why has it been created? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may test you and see who does the most amount of good actions. And what is the result of that good action? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an Majeed, describing the successful person, obviously the person and the being who had created something, he will define what is success. For example, it is not a complete example, but if a person created a game, he's a programmer, he created a game. Now he will decide if you do a certain thing, you will win in this game. And if you do a certain thing, you will lose in this game. Because he created the game. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this world and he has decided what is the yardstick of success. And what does he say? فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ, the person who is saved from the fire in Jahannam, and in fact he is removed far from the fire of Jahannam, وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ, and he is entered into Jannah, then that person is a successful person. Respected brothers and friends, if you have to take the example of a person who is playing, it's something that relates to us. So a person is playing on the soccer field. He's playing a game of soccer. And his goal is ahead of him. For example, it is in the north. But this person is taking the ball and he's running towards the east or the west. What will we say? This person, he needs some mental rehabilitation. This person has lost his sense. Or in fact, even worse than that, he's taking the ball into his own goal. We'll say, what is wrong with this person? Why? Because this person has lost his goal in life. He has lost direction. So, respected brothers and friends, in a very like manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us in this world for a reason. To get over with this life and go into the akhirat. And this world has been placed as a test. It's a very short life. As we said, maybe 60, 70, 80 years. And then what? And then a person is going to go to the akhirat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the inhabitants of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in various places of the Qur'an and Majeed describes the bounties that a person will have in Jannah. In this worldly life, this world is a place of turmoil, of toil. A person, if he is not having difficulty at home with his family, he's having some difficulty in his financial being. In some other facet of his life, he is having problems. This world is like that. It is a place of turmoil and toil. But respected brothers and friends, the akhirat is a place without any worry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala time and again describes the people and the inhabitants of Jannah, that what a pleasant life they will be living. No financial worries, no health problems, no problems with one's family. And the best part about the akhirat, it will never come to an end. A person will never have to worry that, you know what, here in this time, I'm having a nice time with my family, etc. It's going to come to an end. The akhirat is not like that. Akhirat is everlasting. So respected brothers and friends, coming back to the verse that we were speaking about, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, should I not show you a business deal? And what is this business deal? It is going to save you from the fire of Jahannam. It is the transaction of the akhirat. With this business deal that we will be doing, you will gain the akhirat and you will gain Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst the inhabitants of Jannah. Respected brothers and friends, so as we were saying, like how in this world there are peak seasons, in this business and this trade that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us of akhirat, there are also peak seasons. And there are also days when you can acquire more. This is only the Raham and the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like for example, every week Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this day of Jumu'ah. And the day of Jumu'ah is not just coming for the Jumu'ah Salah, etc. But it starts well in advance from the Thursday night after the Maghrib Salah, the day of Jumu'ah begins. And it continues right until the Maghrib of the Friday. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this every week, this peak season. There was once a very great pious saint, not very long ago, Shaykh al-Hind rahimahullah, who was one of the four people in the forefront fighting the British colonization in India. And because of that, he was imprisoned and taken to an island, and the British had imprisoned him. And he stayed there for over 3 years. It was a very difficult time. So respected brothers and friends, this great saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had so much value of this day of Jumu'ah that obviously he was in the prison. So for a Jumu'ah Salah to be performed, there are certain requirements, and those requirements are not found in a prison. So he could not perform the Jumu'ah Salah. But this great saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his piety was of such a level, and his value for this day of Jumu'ah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given was of such a level that every Thursday night he would keep his nail clipper ready, he would keep his clothing ready, he would keep his itar ready. On the Friday morning he would take a ghusl, he would clip his nails, etc. Whatever are the adab and the sunnah of Jumu'ah. And one very important sunnah of Jumu'ah was to leave early. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majeed, فَإِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَاسْعُوا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. This is a very great important sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when the adhan for Jumu'ah Salah is called out, then rush, meaning go early for the Jumu'ah Salah. There are very great rewards mentioned. This is not the time to mention them. But respected brothers and friends, he would go early and he would walk till the gate of the prison. Obviously he could not go out, but he would walk right till the gate of the prison. And then he would go there and turn and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Ya Allah, I have done what was in my capability and my ability. You accept and you grant me the reward of performing the Jumu'ah Salah. And then he would go and read his Zuhr Salah. But respected brothers and friends, what was the difference? Was that he had the value for the Jumu'ah Salah. And he had value for the occasion and the peak season, as we mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given. Because he understood what was his goal in life. He understood that by doing this, he would be getting abundant of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and obviously ultimately enter into Jannah. So respected brothers and friends, in a very like manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us different peak seasons. The day of Jumu'ah, Ramadan had passed not too long ago. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a peak season again, which is these 10 days of Zulhijjah. These are no ordinary days, respected brothers and friends. To gauge how great these days are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one place he mentions, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. He takes a qasam on these 10 days. Now, when we, you and I, take a qasam and oath, it is to prove that we are true in what we are saying. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of that. He does not need to prove that he is true in what he is saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam in many places of the Quran Majeed to highlight the importance of the thing he is taking a qasam of. In fact, respected brothers and friends, in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, مَا عَمِلَ آدَمِيٌ. A person, whatever good deed he may do in these days, even if it is one deed, that deed is better than any deed a person can do in the rest of the year. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum were sitting around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were not sure whether they understood correctly or not. So they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because you must remember, respected brothers and friends, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were always eager to gain more rewards. And they were always eager to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and closer to the ultimate destination, which was Jannah. I was just reading an incident the other day of the great Sahabi of Rasulullah, Umayr bin Humam radiallahu anhu. He was an Ansari Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the battle of Badr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for a long extended period of time, because he had seen what a great army is ahead of him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before the battle had begun, he was in his tent and he was making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the entire night, to such an extent that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he came to him eventually, and he told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that how long will you be making dua? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely accept your dua. Eventually Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then wakes up with jubilation and he says that now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted my dua of victory and he will grant us victory. And he walks out and he tells the sahaba radiallahu anhum, قُومُوا إِلَىٰ جَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. Stand up to such a jannat whose worth, this the worth of that jannat is the extent of all the skies and the earth. So a sahabi, this sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umair bin Humam radiallahu anhu, he hears this and he asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jannatun arduha as-samawati wal-ard, such a jannat that is so vast. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, yes. So the sahabi radiallahu anhum, he says an expression in Arabic, bakh, bakh, which is an expression to denote a person's excitement. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him, that what is the matter? Why are you saying this? So he replies, I am saying this for no other reason except that I want to be among the inhabitants of this jannah you speak about. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him that فَإِنَّكَ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا, you are from amongst his inhabitants. After the sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was obviously in the battlefield, they were there for days. He had taken out some dates, some khajur in his hand that he had with him in his quiver, and he began eating it. But then he thought to himself that if I have to live till I eat these dates, إِنَّهَا لَحَيَاتٌ طَوِيلًا, this would be a very long life. He takes those dates, he throws it aside, and he runs into the thick of the battlefield, and he passes away, and he's granted martyrdom, and he's one of those few sahaba radiallahu anhum, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had accepted for martyrdom on the Battle of Badr. So respected brothers and friends, this was the sahaba radiallahu anhum, that they were always eager for rewards. So coming back to this, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them this virtue of these 10 days, the sahaba radiallahu anhum asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, doing an action in these days is even better than doing jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in other days, because they could not understand anything greater than that, because that jihad is a thing which a person goes out with his life and his wealth. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَلَا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, doing an action in these days, any good deed is better than even doing jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of these days. Again the sahaba radiallahu anhum asked, وَلَا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, again Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the same response. Then he says, except that person who goes out, خَرَجَ بِنَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ, he goes out with all his wealth, or he goes out with his entire life and all his wealth, and neither does his wealth return home, nor does he return home. Then that person can be equal to the person who does an action in these 10 days. Respected brothers and friends, this is the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given in these days, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that when a person fasts in these 10 days, each fast is equal to the fast of the entire year. And on the day of Arafah, has an extra reward. A person who fasts on the 9th, on the day of Arafah, his reward will be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe out the minor sins of the previous year and the coming year. So respected brothers and friends, this is a very important thing that we must remember. We should try and fast during these days, whichever days a person can fast. And if a person cannot fast at all, then at least on the day of Arafah, a person should try and fast to gain that reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And regarding the night, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the person who spends the night in ibadah and doing a good action in the night, it is equal to the reward a person will get on Laylatul Qadr. Because of these rewards, the ulama have explained, some ulama are of the opinion that these 10 days are even better than the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. And other ulama, they feel that the days of these 10 days are better and the nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan are better than these 10 nights. But respected brothers and friends, we can understand the great rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us in these months. Obviously one we spoke about was fasting in these days. And the other was spending some time of the night in ibadah. The other very important aspect in these days, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّسْبِيحِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ, recite what we know as the third kalima in abundance, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, recited in abundance in these days. Another aspect that we should keep in mind is the takbir. In fact, Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu and Abu Huraira radiallahu anhuma, in these 10 days, they would go to the marketplace and recite the takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallahu, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. They would go in the marketplaces and they would recite it in abundance. And because they would be reciting it, everyone would be reciting it as well. So this is another important aspect in these days, reciting this in abundance. And respected brothers and friends, one of the greatest actions that a person can do in these 10 days is obviously what we know as qurbani, the sacrifice that a person makes on the 10th. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith that on the day of Nahar there is no action more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than slaughtering the animal. Because that animal on the day of Qiyamah, it will come with its horns, it will come with its hooves, it will come with the hair on its body and with every fiber on its body in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, interceding on behalf of the person who slaughtered the animal. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further says that the blood of the animal reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning it is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before even one drop falls on the ground. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was telling his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha that you should go and sacrifice your animal, because when you sacrifice your animal before the drop of blood, first drop of blood falls on the ground, all your sins will be forgiven. In one hadith, while explaining these virtues of qurbani, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then at the end of it, he says, فَطِيبُ بِهَا نَفْسًا. When you are doing this qurbani, keeping in mind all these rewards, do it with a good heart. There are many explanations, and there are different explanations given of what is doing it with a good heart, but just to mention a few, time has already run out. The first aspect of doing it with a good heart is that a person must try his utmost best to do it personally. Try and do the qurbani yourself and witness that qurbani being done as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his family members. The second aspect of doing it with a good heart is that you must give the best, try and give the best animal, not that we're looking for the smallest animal or the cheapest option, but you must try and do the best. Obviously, whatever is in a person's capability, but he must try and do it with the best animal that he can afford. And the third aspect is that a person must personally partake of that meat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the occasion of Hajjatul Wada, he slaughtered 100 camels. He had 100 camels of his that he was slaughtered. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could obviously not partake of 100 camels, but what he did was, he mixed a small portion of meat from all the camels and he put it in one bowl and he had the gravy from that. So that he doesn't lose out on the barakah and the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in the qurbani meat. So we should also try our utmost best to partake of that qurbani meat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and ability to practice upon what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.